Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello.
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
Cause there's something down there.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's Red Rebel Radio. We're back once again with another festive edition of Red Rebel Radio. 30 minutes of your one-stop shop for fixture previewing FC United against Curzon Ashton this weekend. Down the other end of the phone, we're now joined once again by the welcome return from the European Union. It's Swampy, everyone.
Woo!
Woo!
Just me.
Just you, Ben, yes. Well, good afternoon, listener. And good afternoon to yourself, Ben, as well. Yes, here in the heart of Brussels. And actually, on the side of me, you can't see this because obviously this is a radio show, but I've actually got sprouts. I've got sprouts in my hand and they're very delicious as well.
Excellent news.
I'll be having a little bit of that for later on for this evening's tea. And but yes, it's a welcome return. We're not on last week. I thought we had a bit of a ranting show last week.
We did have a ranting show last week, and we're back for a more kinder one, I think. Just a nice, pleasant stroll.
I don't think so. To be honest, I think primarily it's half an hour of ranting, isn't it? We might leave the ranting to the song of the day anyway. So, pleased to see you. How are you? You well?
I'm fine. No, I've got a chest infection.
A chest infection?
Yes.
You got a cough?
Well, no, my children had a chest infection. Now I've got a cough. I can only assume that I've got the chest infection too, which is why I sound a bit like Phyllis. If you remember Phyllis in the 90s.
I think she was actually pretty 90 in the 90s. I see what you're doing there, yes. But yeah. Phyllis was more like, hello, person, love it.
Anyway, so Swampy... interesting thing for people who follow Swampy on Facebook. It was amazing last night to follow you, Swampy. What was going on? It was amazing.
I don't know really. At one point, I turned into Chris Kamara. I went, oh look, it's 2-1. Can't believe it. It was the sixth round of the Belgium Cup between Union Saint Gilloise. Versus FC Nokki, as I like to call them, a tasty team from division below in the cup, 5 euros in, and I got in, and basically it was just me in the ground, and I thought, what am I going to do? No one to talk to. I know what I'll do. I'll talk to some idiots who want to. Maybe see what's going on in Brussels. And those idiots actually are beautiful people, in all fairness. And I was amazed how many people were watching and the remarks coming backwards and forwards. And it was a great night's entertainment. It was a huge crowd. Absolutely huge. To give you an idea...
To be fair, Swampy, it's your own fault for having so many friends on Facebook.
Well, I don't think they all just made a quick journey over, you know. But what was interesting is that the area that we stand in is where all the ultras stand, and a friend of mine who introduced me to Union, he arrived a little bit late. Kickoff was 8:45, and he arrived at 8:30, and he couldn't get in a stand that he's been standing in for the last 11 seasons, and it's the first time he's been locked out of his old stand. Whether it was 5 euro in, or whether it was a cup, but I mean, a quarter to nine kickoff. Swirling rain, very, very windy. But I think we had somewhere in the region of about, I think I slightly exaggerated last night saying 8,000 or 9,000, but I think there's somewhere in the region of about 5,500 there last night, and got the result we needed and into the quarterfinals of the Belgium Cup, which is a fantastic feat for a club that are back on the up. But the Facebook thing was quite funny. I quite enjoyed it, and I might do a few of them. I've got my first away game on Sunday. And we take on the mighty Lommel, who are on the German border.
When do you play Lowestoft?
Well, we got to play Kingsland first, and then we're going to get over to Lowestoft after that, I think. And in fact, I reckon...
Of course, that'll be your first visit to Lowestoft, because you dodged that one last time. Well played. Anyway... Right, so anyway, for those of you who were conned out of not being able to listen to York City against FC United last weekend, it was one of those games, Swamper.
At the old Ben.
Yeah, one of those games of football that we've come to know and love and often go, oh, if only it went the other way.
Well, that's a good point. Look, it's three games on the bounce, two league games and a cup defeat, and Neil wasn't very happy. But as you said, the first half, some excellent football played, and maybe a little bit naivety in the second half, a little bit of inexperience, and that's what actually undid FC on the day. But you know, I think. Big learning curves. And, you know, we've got some big games out of the way. We've got some obviously big games to come equally. But at the same token, you know, we can look forward to this weekend's football. And looking at what you're always looking for is, regardless of the result, you're looking for the way the team have performed and the way they've played and have they improved week on week. And I think the general consensus is, yes, they have improved. There's plenty of work to do. It's not a fully finished team yet. More players are going to be coming in throughout the season, you would expect. Other players are going out on loan and get up to full match fitness. But I think generally we would say that the football has been of a decent standard, a good quality standard, and enjoyable to commentate on and also watch.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, as well, a few people have raised this, and we spoke about it at the end of last week's FC Live when we were talking about how FC were robbed, not conned, robbed.
Ben, I thought they were conned and robbed. I heard you say it. Conned, robbed, swindled. I think there were three words you used. Yeah, definitely.
I've never used the word conned in my life about anything. Anyway, Plan B, Swamper. Does FC United have a plan B? Do we have a meathead who we could put up front and just pepper balls long towards his forehead to hope that his big bonce can get the ball in the net? Have we got that plan?
There's no way to talk about Chaddy, is it? In fairness, that's actually dreadful. The assistant manager and coach, I don't know.
Do we need a plan B like that?
Well, look, I remember talking to the manager at the time of Ilson, who played very attractive football. Mr. Wilson. And what's funny about Mr. Wilson?
Because you don't know his first name. And now I'm going, I'm sure it's Kevin.
It's Kevin Wilson.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good. Right, yeah. I was just double checking myself.
And it was interesting because when he was at Ilson, and then he went to was it Kidderminster?
Nuneaton.
Correct. I'm just testing your knowledge there, Ben. Well done. When he went to Nuneaton, I asked him, and he said, "Look, we play one way, and we play that all the way through to the 95th minute. We're going to play attractive football. We're going to make sure that we just basically get the ball into the areas that we need to, but we do it in a certain way, in a certain style." So, did he have a plan B? I'm not sure whether they did or not, and I'm not sure whether Neil has a plan B, because I think you would ordinarily think, well, look, you know, lumping the ball up, how often does it get you massive results? It used to for FC in the early days, you know, when you're really chasing the game. But I think if you continue to play your football, you know, the result comes in the end anyway. Occasionally there will be a long ball played into the penalty, but then everyone will be complaining about, oh, plan B, look at it, we're just hoofing it up to Chaddy. He's come on.
Just to be clear, we're not suggesting it should be Dave Chadwick. We're not suggesting that.
The description that you've given, the only person I can ever think of is Adam Tong. Who incidentally was actually watching my Facebook Live stream last night.
Really?
I was like Adam Tong. So I gave him a big up on the little show I did. Look, we're so young into his tenure at this football club. Then you know, it's for him to decide how we play. keyboard warriors, people that think they know the game inside out. You know, I mean, I listen to it and watch people, and I watch how they change their mind and how they continuously talk about certain things, and then when them things are going right, they say, "Look, yeah, I've always known about that." And when they're going wrong, "Oh, I've always known about that." The great people are great at telling managers what they should do, unless you've actually been at in any way, shape, or form, and it doesn't really matter what level. Unless you've stood on the touchline and you've actually done it yourself, it's very, very difficult for somebody, a layperson, to sit there and criticise. I mean, we've got millions and millions of armchair football managers in the world who know better than everybody else and how they would do things. But until you've actually tried it yourself, then it's a little bit difficult. But I think plan B is plan A, and I think plan A has been quite successful. I think hopefully plan A will be successful tomorrow. And, you know, if the ball needs to be lumped up in the final few seconds of a game to try and get an equaliser or a winner, then I'm sure on occasions that might happen. But I think overall they'll want to play to a certain specific pattern of play, and hopefully that will be successful for FC United for years to come.
And obviously, heading into this game, we've not spoken to Neil Reynolds yet. We're recording this on Friday afternoon. We speak to Renault on Friday night. But there has been some comings and goings, hasn't there? I think Jones and Crawford have gone on loan on dual reg to Stalybridge. Sam Baird's gone back to Drolsden for a few months.
Yeah, he's got for 3 months, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Dave Cardell as well. I'm not sure that's a permanent move for Dave or indeed just a loan move. But, you know, Harry Winter obviously still out on loan as well. I think that's probably the right thing, to be honest. I'm looking at the players that are still there. I'm sure he's looking for a little bit more experience. What, Ben? What have you forgot?
I've just read a tweet, because I've just read it now. This is breaking news, everyone. Several hours ago, Joel Logan has joined Hensford on a month's loan. Right there, Joel Logan joined Hensford.
Hennesford.
No, it's like Wednesday. It's Hensford.
It's Hennesford. Locals pronounce it Hennesford. Hennesford.
Well, yeah. So anyway, back to low moves and people getting fit.
But I mean, hold on. What Hennesford are playing now? They've just got the managers. Both managers just resigned as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they've gone to Hales Owen.
Exactly. Yeah. That was only last week. So interesting move for Joel. Unless it's not a near place to get to, is it, as well? It's one of those that's only about 70 miles. Yeah, it takes about 4 days to get there. But, you know, well, fair enough. If he's out on loan, get some fitness and maybe get his head right. You know, I think that's probably the thing that you could say about Joel Logan. He's got immense talent and he's a decent footballer. He needs to get his head right. And you combine those two things, then you've got a complete footballer. And hopefully he can do that out on loan and enjoy himself out there and come back a much better player. And if he doesn't come back, then hopefully he can have a successful career elsewhere. Because we always wish players, if they don't fit at your football club, you don't wish them malice anywhere else that they go. Let's hope he can either come back a much better player or indeed continues and plays for another club and does well for them. So that's breaking news, eh?
Yeah, and the other loanees, it goes on with what we said about, like we said about Harry Winter and Cole Lonsdale and Healy. It's all about getting match fitness, isn't it, and being there if some players drop out.
It is indeed, yeah. And you know, I mean, the one player there that, you know, Sam Baird now has to go away for 3 months to draws and really put a shift in there and prove his worth and prove that he has the quality and the ability to come back. I've been a big advocate of his, as you know. I think he'd been treated badly in the past. I'm not saying this time he has been treated badly, but, you know, he needs to really knuckle down and get a job done at Drawsden with glowing reports coming back to the football club if he wants to have a future FC United and Manchester. The same with Jones. They've had their opportunities on occasion. And I think, to be honest, Sam Baird's probably taking it better than Jones he has on numerous occasions. But again, they're still young players. They still have an opportunity to really, really show that they've got the quality to come back. And I can understand it from a perspective to a certain degree from Neil. He wants a little bit more experience, perhaps in the defence. And, you know, he's got two solid defenders at the moment that are playing tremendously well in O'Halloran and in Lynch. But the backup cover there is very, very young and inexperienced. So in that regard, he'd probably be looking to bring a few players in. And obviously, at the same token, want to give players an opportunity to play football at a decent level. And Sam will be able to do that because, as I say, it's a three-month loan for Sam. And, you know, I think that that's the right thing to do. Get them out. Get them playing for decent clubs, keep an eye on them, keep watching them, and you know, hopefully they can all come back better players. And if they don't come back better players, they can go off elsewhere and hopefully have careers at other football clubs, because, you know, the life, it's not all about FC United and Manchester. These footballers come and go, and you know, at the end of the day, it's an opportunity really for these players to prove their worth and come back much better than they were when they before they left.
Now, speaking of people who've left, we're playing Curzon Ashton tomorrow on Saturday afternoon, and when I was editing last week's show, the announcement was made that John Flanagan had left Curzon Ashton. It's not the best preparation going into this for our esteemed visitors tomorrow, Swampy.
I don't think it helps either teams either. To be honest, I don't think it helps FC United. I don't think it helps Curzon. You know, I'm sure within the week, hadn't had a real opportunity to watch Curzon. We would have known how John sets them up, and we would have seen them in the previous games, obviously, with the new man coming in. Obviously, he's been at the club for a long, long time. However, they might change the complete dynamic of the club. I mean, the one thing to look at, if you look at the stats, they're not scoring many goals. They've only actually scored 17 goals all season, Curzon. Conceded 23 as well. FC obviously have scored a few more than that in 21 and conceded 34. So it's an interesting one. The other interesting one is actually, Ben, if you think about it, this has come as a big, big shock. We know John, we know Flan as well through our Northern Premier days and also from doing the Northern Premier League show. We know he has an opinion. We know he'll tell you that opinion. I mean, he says some very funny things about individual players, you know, players that he considered to be fat. But at the same token, he'd have him in there. Remember, I'm not mentioning the players.
It was off the record. That Swampy, you can't bring that up.
It wasn't off the
record. It was.
It wasn't off the record. It wasn't.
Oh,
off
no,
the
it wasn't. You're right. It was away at Darlington, wasn't it? I remember now. Yeah, it was great mind
fat.
Games. Yeah.
He's fat. I'd have him in the team.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was funny.
In fact, he said he's fat, but I'd have him in the team of the year. There's no doubt he's fat. I was like, oh, fair enough, John.
And that whole, just for the listener, right? That was on the eve of a big six-pointer in Division One North, where Curzon were travelling to Darlington, and that made the local newspaper. It was the most listened to show we've ever had, and I think Curzon won 4-0 or 4-1. He played a blinder
he did.
The whole thing.
And he's done that for most of his footballing career. Look, he's the most successful manager that Curzon have ever had, and I would suggest he's the most successful manager Curzon will ever have, unless they, for some miraculous way, get themselves into the Premier League in the next 10 or 15 years. It was a big, big shock. I think we've tried to pick the bones out of it. I've tried to understand it, trying to get a thought process through it. The club came out with a statement and said what this did. They thanked him for his service. He's coming out with a statement saying thanks to the supporters and blah, blah. There's a lot more to it, Ben. I think that will probably come out in the wash over the next 6 months or so. But the question I've got, Ben, is that John Flanagan was a manager that was tipped maybe to become an FC manager at some stage. If Neil Reynolds hadn't been the manager now, do you think that Flanners would have walked straight into a job if we were still looking for a manager?
That's a weird one, isn't it? I'd say yes, wouldn't you?
I think he would. Yeah, I think he'd walk straight in there, wouldn't he? Time is everything in football. I mean, I've been looking again. Where's he going to go? You know, what club's available to him?
Well,
because he's got so much experience. I mean, you know, I made a few thoughts, private thoughts about clubs I think he wants to go to, but I'm not going to mention them on here because they're in our division and it would be unfair to do so. But it's he doesn't want to be out of the game long, does he? He wants to be back in there, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And another person who's been hired is our old friend at Barwell, Jimmy Ginelli, who's the new manager at Nuneaton. So that happened this week. Two good managers, Jimmy Ginnelly and John Flanagan, but wish them all the best. But obviously, Jimmy Ginnelly, not too much luck, because we're happy we're non-eating now in the league table. Just to say.
Talking of Ginnelly, but it's a very Italiano name, is it? Very, very Italian, very European. Did you know Simone Perrotta, who was a World Cup winner in 2006, Ben,
right.
went to St Anne's Primary School in Ashton.
I didn't know that, Swamper.
Born in Ashton. His parents had a little wine shop in Italy, in Ashton, and he was born in 1977 in Ashton, and he was part of the 2006 Italian World Cup winning team, born in Ashton.
Well,
there you go.
There's a fair few people from Ashton who are quite famous.
I think people need to know. I mean, Jeff Hirsch, obviously, is a big footballing name, who is from Ashton. Arthur Brooke, yeah.
Who's he?
Brooke Bonte.
Oh, there we go.
Can you get any higher pitch than that, Ben? Goodness gracious. This parakeet's just turned the head around here, looking in, going, who mentioned that noise? He's called Arthur Brooke, and he worked for his dad as a tea boy, and then basically set up a company himself, and he decided to call it Bond, so make it sound more posh, as if there was a big company. And Brooke Bond Tea, born in Manchester, born in Ashton. You've also got George Formby Senior. He was a comedian and entertainer, and the reason why he changed his name to George Formby was because he saw a bus going to Formby. He went, "Oh, I'll have that as my stage name." So that's why he's called Formby. And also Amanda Barry, Ben. Amanda Barry. Amanda Barry.
Coronation
Street.
I know. Just another piece of breaking news that we're getting here in the radio studio. Fiona Bruce is the new presenter of Question Time. It's been confirmed in the last hour. Obviously, an expert at antiques. So she'll be on Question Time looking out for those antiques views from the audience. There we go.
Yeah, you hadn't seen that one up, Ben, had you, at all? I mean, I'm going to say, you know, she basically will be able to talk to old fossil politicians with outdated and antiquated viewpoints in certain issues, and to the left and to the right. It's a very strange appointment. I actually did think for one moment, because of his opinions and the quality of the person, that John Flanagan might have been the man, and that's why he might have stepped down from Curzon, said he couldn't combine the both jobs together, and he would now become the host of Question Time. I think that would have been a much better appointment, to be honest.
Anyway.
Yeah, but no, I mean, let the Tory party continue to do what they're doing, because hugely, I mean, to be for the first government to be done for contempt, you know, absolutely just shows what they're made of. And then you've got Boris the buffoon in Parliament apologising for monies that he's not declared, or he declared late. I mean, how can you do this? You know, I mean, it's Boris, isn't he? He can do anything. The DUP, well, they still haven't found the receipt. Apparently, they've only spent half the money, so we can get half of it back at least at some stage. And the Labour Party just sitting there, you know, waiting for hopefully Tuesday and the suggestion possibly of a general election, and if not a general election, a second people's vote, which is the backstop for the Labour Party. So interesting times.
And at that point, just to say, if it does go to a general election or, of course, a second vote, you'll hear no more about the matter on this show, because we don't want to influence your vote. Just to say, FC United against Curzon Ashton this weekend. There's loads of stuff taking place before. Kushkan Malcolm is on, and there's a band, and there's also a Toy Story. So if you've got a brand new toy or good as new, bring it along with you to Broadhurst Park, because that'll go to a good home. And also taking place is walking football, where FC United's walking team will be taking on the Nash Amblers. 12:15 kickoff out on the free.
You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful where you say that. The Nash Amblers.
Yeah, because yeah. Anyway.
Very good. I did like that photograph of you last week, Ben, at Accrington.
Yeah, in the field. Yeah.
In the field, yeah. Well, but the question is, I mean, right next to you was an old dugout.
No, it was an over. It didn't have a roof on it, Swamper.
No, I know it didn't, and that's why I gave you my advice and my bushwhacker advice of what to do. You could have got the umbrella, stuck it in between. You could have made yourself a nice little bench out of twiglets and a whole host of other things, and you've been fine. There was loads of ferns and everything. You could have made a roof out of that. Oh, it would have been brilliant.
I still would have
voted you off.
Or plan B, which is obviously what everyone's after at the moment, plan B would have been to break into the actual Crown Ground, set myself up there in the actual press section, and use a pair of binoculars. Be safe and warm in the stadium next door.
You could have, but basically, I think, if I'm right in stating that, you wouldn't have been able to see the ground from where you were because the press box is facing the opposite way, Ben.
The away end. The away end gets in the way. That's the downside.
It just might have been a better thing. I mean, I know they won again, didn't they? And well done to the women's team. But it was interesting to see watching commentating in a crouching position. It was nice to see you on your knees watching the women's team. But hopefully, you know, we'll have any of that tomorrow. You've got a nice sit of the night, a nice viewpoint to watch FC tomorrow. And it's going to be a tough game, isn't it?
It is, obviously, as well. There'll be no Alan Green commentating. We're far better than that. And we will have James Quinn and Roy Sewell commentating.
I see. It's the big boy. The real big boys are out this time.
Yeah, exactly. So for those of you who like your football commentary with a tinge of unbiasedness, there you go. So Swampy, before you go, it's now time for your song of this week. And are you going to play the Buzzcocks?
No, not Ben. I mean, it's all too. I mean, the passing at 63 years of age is a terrible thing. But no, there'll be lots of eulogies and lots of people playing the stuff. And obviously, you know, we're playing Curzon Ashton tomorrow. Ashton, obviously famous for its IKEA, the biggest eyesore block on the land from Kinder Scout. Obviously, they've got a bus station. And round the corner in Hyde, and it's part of Tameside, sort of. They're still running the topless bar on a Thursday. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Thanks.
It's nice to know that Hyde's progressed. Yeah. I think it was.
Put him away, Barry. Put him away.
musically, it's going to be. I was thinking first of all of Captain Hampton and the Midget Pirates. That's the name of a song actually by the Aquablasts. Have a listen to that then anyway, because it's awful. But it's just it's quite piratey. It's trying to be sort of like pirate music crossed with a little bit of two-tone ska. But I think the lead singer may well be European, and there's some words that he finds quite difficult to pronounce, which makes it quite hubris. But I'm not going with that. But if you want to have a listen to that, have a listen to that. It's available on Spotify and other ways of getting music. But I'm going to play Arrogant American Pig. That's the name of the track, Arrogant American Pig. And it's by a French band, more of a dance band, sort of a musical dance band called Botox, B-O-T hyphen O-X. But this is with a guy called Kim Foley, who narrates through this song. And on that, I shall say, enjoy the game. Looking forward to listening to the Sewell and the Quinn together tomorrow on FC Live. No Emily tomorrow, Ben, then?
No, she's got a netball semi-final.
Well, good luck to her in a netball semi-final tomorrow afternoon, and I'll be back again hopefully the new year, Ben, but I'll be obviously next week's show, but I'll be back in the new year for a couple of commentaries with you guys, hopefully. Looking forward to that, and let's hope we can get a win. That points at the moment, you know, We're on 17 points in 20th position. Curzon in 15 points on 21. So again, two wins. You can see, I mean, what two wins can do. If York had won on Tuesday, they'd gone from basically just above us to being 12th. So a couple of victories for FC United in the next couple of weeks can do us the power of good, and hopefully we can move forward. So enjoy the weekend, everybody, and I'll see you again next week. Here is Kim Foley and Botox with Arrogant American Pigs.
Bye, Swamper.
Bye, Ben.
I'm gonna sing in the This is FCUM Radio, lowbrow radio for a highbrow audience.